Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let us commence our service this morning by singing together hymn 61. 61. Inspirer of the ancient seers who wrote from thee sacred page, a light for all succeeding years, a lamp in this degenerate age. Wisdom to us thy words impart, and with thy comfort fill our heart. Before our brother Paul speaks to us a word of exhortation, we're going to sing together hymn number 225. 225. We come, O God, to bow before thy throne, to pay our solemn vow through thy dear Son. He is our high priest there, to incense faithful prayer. Hear, gracious Father, hear his Spirit's groan. Hymn 225.
Thank you.
We're very pleased this morning, brethren and sisters, to ask our brother Paul Morrison to give us the word of exhortation.
My beloved brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, in our readings over the last week we've been reading from the second book of Chronicles, have we not? And we've commenced reading about the kings who ruled the 10 tribes in Judah after the death of Solomon, when God's kingdom was divided. And it makes at times very sad reading to see how, after the initial glory of Solomon's reign, God's chosen people soon became affected by the nations around them. But as with all scripture, their lives are recorded as examples to future generations of those called to the service of God, of how they should react to the trials and tribulations which inevitably come as a result of our having to rub shoulders with the world, a world that knows not God. And we are, in effect, the last generation, and perhaps the most at risk, because we live in an age when we are bombarded by the ways of the world on every side, on a scale beyond the experience of past generations. So, bearing in mind the scriptural principle that we should be in the world but not of it, we can look at some of the kings of Israel and of Judah to see if their actions in those far-off days warn or encourage us in our endeavour to walk faithfully as the children of God in an evil world. In yesterday's reading from the 2nd of Chronicles, chapter 21, we saw the death and burial of Jehoshaphat, a good king, as we read in 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 3. We read there, 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 3, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honour in abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah." So we see how, for this king, because of his walking in God's way, he was greatly blessed. And he removed some of the idolatry which was in Israel. And this was very good. But what did that position, what use did he make of it really? Despite this position, he allowed himself to become associated with Ahab, king of Israel, who, among other things, worshipped Baal, had Naboth killed, and saw Elisha, that faithful prophet of God, as his enemy. Now, such a man should have been shunned by one who served the one true God. Yet Jehoshaphat, we read, socialized with Ahab, even married his son Jehoram to a daughter of Ahab. And so, the 2nd of Chronicles chapter 18 sums up his failings in verse 1. Where it says, "Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honour in abundance, and joined affinity with Ahab. And after certain years he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat king of Judah, Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people is thy people, and we will be with thee in the war." Now, having that association with Ahab, he should have heeded the words of Proverbs chapter 24, verse 1. Be not envious of evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk mischief. That was certainly the case with Ahab. Jehoshaphat allowed himself to be misled by Ahab, even to the extent of putting himself at needless risk, because we read on, don't we not, in verse 29 of this 18th chapter, what happened when he indeed went to war with Ahab. Verse 29, the king of Israel, Ahab, said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and will go to the battle, but put thou on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went to the battle. We can see how naive Jehoshaphat was in the hands of that evil man. And it is evident that it is only through the mercy of God that he was saved from dying on that battlefield. That surely reminds us of the necessity of maintaining our stand on military service, however difficult that may be. We have, as Isaiah 45, verse 9 says, let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. We do this because we are called to promote the time spoken of in verse 8 of Isaiah 45. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. The establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. It is evident that those outside of the truth have no part in bringing that wonderful time into reality, except it be by their filling up the cup of their iniquity, which brings God's patience to an end. So it behoves us to stand aside from the conflicts which the world at large engages in, and concentrate on promoting the way of salvation to those who will hear. We cannot do this if we are voluntarily involved in the affairs of this world. Jehoshaphat, in that war, had a sharp reminder of where he was going astray in one respect, and yet it appears that he still had not learned his lesson. For we see later that he foolishly allied himself with Ahab's son, Ahaziah, in order to increase his worldly goods by trade. And we see this in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 35, where we read, after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made ships, the ships in Ezion-Geber. And then Eliezer, the son of Dodava of Marashah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works. And the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish. And so again, this wrecking of the ships was a sharp reminder to Jehoshaphat that he should not allow his desire for prosperity to override God's requirements, that his people should be separate from the wicked. We are also reminded, are we not, of Paul's words to us on the same subject, which we find in the 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Well, do we know the answer, do we not, brethren and sisters? None at all. Jehoshaphat had learned the hard way. It behoves us to avoid falling into the same error. Such association did not prosper his way at all, and also led to his son Jehoram, who succeeded him, becoming a ruthless king with no regard for the God of Israel. 2 Chronicles 21 and verse 4. When Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. There in verse 6 we have an indication as to why he was such a ruthless, evil man. He had the daughter of Ahab to wife. Association with the wicked inevitably leads to a falling away from the truth. Even that great King Solomon, we know, was led away by his strange wives. And so we see the same happening through the influence of the daughter of Ahab. This influence continued into the reign of Ahaziah, whose mother, we are told in 2 Chronicles 22, was Athaliah, granddaughter of Omri, but also that daughter of Ahab. She was indeed a true daughter who carried on the evil influence of Ahab and Jezebel in Judah, until those who remained faithful to the God of Israel, led by Jehoiada the priest, which we read of in our first reading for today from 2 Chronicles 23, they made Joash king and killed Athaliah. Did away with this influence of Jezebel on the people of God. Now that incident reminds us of the letter to the ecclesia at Thyatira in chapter 2, verse 20, where, having spoken of their works, their love, service, faith, and patience, all things that are very commendable, Jesus then says in verse 20, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophet, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." Evidently then, although they were on the surface a very good ecclesia, very faithful, there were those who, as Dr. Thomas in Eureka says, had a love of divine things as far as was agreeable to their animal instincts and compatible with their worldly prosperity and peace. The question for us, which we have to face up to, is, do we fall into that category? Has the way of the world become the priority in our lives? Does it make us give up our responsibilities to the truth? Those ways, those evil influences are ever with us and will pull us away from salvation if we allow them to. The solution, as always with God's children, is to hold fast to the truth, to the way God has shown us, whatever circumstances we might find ourselves in. Now, this holding fast to the truth, to the way that we know God would have us go, is ably demonstrated in the book of Daniel. And there we have Daniel and his three friends, forcibly brought into the Babylonian court, where attempts were made to force them to compromise their belief and practice in the service of God. They are examples to us of how we should react to the demands of the world about us. From the outset of their captivity, they plainly and politely made it plain that they would not defile themselves with the questionable food that the Babylonians required them to eat. And it is noteworthy that they had no objection to being taught the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans, and so diligently did they put themselves into that, that this made them into acceptable advisers of the king. If we look in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 19, we see the result of their initiation into the Babylonian ways. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 19, "And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus." Their allegiance to God set them apart from the rest of those magicians and astrologers and advisors. And the question for us is, does our allegiance to God set us apart from the world in such a way that it makes us stand out as remarkable? Daniel, we know, went on after his interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream to gain high office in Babylon, as did his 3 friends. But that high office did not change their adherence to divine principles when they conflicted with Babylonian laws and requirements. In Daniel chapter 3, we have Daniel's 3 friends making a stand for the one true God, refusing to be subject to the pagan worship of an idol, which the Babylonians sought to impose on them. They endured in faith the trial of the fiery furnace, and so made that great king admit that the God of Israel was the only God who could perform such a miracle. Daniel 3 and verse 28. We reread his words. "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." And then he goes on to explain the vision. "As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he revealeth secrets. He that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass." What shall come to pass? The effect of that revelation on that great king. "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angels and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore make I a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon." We too are called to witness for God. If we exhibit our faith, even in a small way, it can have a great influence on others around us. In our reading for today from Daniel 4, we have Daniel interpreting another dream for Nebuchadnezzar, a dream which had consequences for the king, which caused Daniel to be silent for a whole hour. A whole hour. No doubt thinking what the king's reaction would be to what he had to tell him. We get in this a remarkable insight into the relationship which God had helped Daniel build up with that powerful ruler who holds sway over virtually the whole habitable world at that time. Daniel 4 and verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. And when we read this, of course, we're reading the words of this great king Nebuchadnezzar, this chapter 4. It's what he had caused to be written. He was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. How had that king, that great king Nebuchadnezzar, learned to trust and respect Daniel? It was because of his integrity and faith in his God. And at the end of that ordeal, the king, we have recorded his words in verse 34. I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honour and brightness returned unto me, and my counsellors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honour the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Dear brothers and sisters, these examples give us an amazing insight into what we can achieve if we put our faith and trust in the one true God. We may not achieve such great things as Daniel and his three friends, but we can play our part, the part that God requires of us in his purpose. Our life of probation is all about surviving the trials of this life by holding fast to the truth, in spite of the subtle or the harsh influences of the world about us. In all this, we know that we are not alone. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not alone in the fiery furnace. They had with them one who Nebuchadnezzar describes as like the Son of God in Daniel 3 and verse 25. And he answered and said, Lo, I see four men walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. One like the Son of God, an angel. They were not alone. And the point is, brethren and sisters, neither are we. For we have with us, if we are faithful in our life of probation, not just one like the Son of God, but also the Son of God himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, who we know and believe in because of the eyewitness accounts of faithful men such as Luke, who we believe gave us a true account of the amazing things which Jesus Christ in his short mortal life achieved. If we go over to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1 and verse 1, we have there the testimony. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he had, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead was clearly testified by those apostles who for 3.5 years went everywhere with Jesus. These were, at the time, living witnesses that Jesus had risen from the dead. And in Acts chapter 2, our reading for today, we see the effect of their preaching, what that preaching had on those who listened. For after preaching the risen Christ to the Jews at Jerusalem, we see that remarkable reaction in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. No other testimony in the world compares with that, because it reveals the key to life after death. The Ahabs of this world have nothing by comparison. The apostolic testimony shows us the clear and simple way to serve God acceptably. Our only hope is to stay in that way. Of verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. If we go over to the first epistle of John, chapter 5, and look at verse 18, he says there, We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Well, that, dear brethren and sisters, is the basis of our belief. We know that the Son of God is come. We understand the purpose of God in him. We know how to be in Christ and how to stay in him. And if only we can put this knowledge into action, we are assured that God's almighty hand will always be with us. Whatever fiery trial awaits us, as the angel was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so Jesus told his disciples, Matthew chapter 28, concluding words, verse 19, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
For our memorial hymn, brothers and sisters, let's sing hymn 79. Hymn 79. Sing praise. The tomb is void where the Redeemer lay. Sing of our bonds destroyed, our darkness turned to day. Weep for your dead no more, friends, be of joyful cheer. Our star moves on before, our narrow path shines clear.
Thank you.
hymn 79. So we'll conclude with prayer by our brother Phil Dunbirch after we've sung together hymn number 94. The days are quickly flying, and Christ will come again with all his saints attending triumphant in his train, when every eye shall see him and every tongue confess the glory of the Father in Christ, our righteousness. Hymn 94.